So, the Bible reading is taken from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This can be found on page 1202 of the Pew Bible. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning at the first verse. Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Amen.
Houses and housing are important to me. They've played a part in my working life and my home life. And I'm sure they are important to you. Mention the words shelter, security, comfort, and identity, to name but a few. And I'm sure you'll agree that where you live, or where you'd like to live, is important. Yes, it's probably the most costly investment you'll make, and because of that, you'll want to make it your own. Your space, your place, your things all included. It might be one thing to live there and take possession of it, but what if you've designed it? What if you've built it as well? Now the investment is all the more, for whatever you've made is a part of you, not just a place to accommodate you. But take a further step. Then imagine that you've exerted your influence over everything, every aspect of that house, not just the location, not just the room size, not just the layout, but the furnishings, the fittings, everything, right down to the cutlery and the crockery, the smallest detail, all conceived by you, all designed by you. And if not made by you, then made by someone who at least followed your instructions. Having done all of that, only one thing remains, and that is to live there, making use of everything about it. If you've ever wondered about the letter to the Hebrews, and if the words of chapter 3 have been in your thoughts, then that description is a reflection of its meaning. This is about a house and its builder, metaphorically speaking. And in it, there's a distinction. between someone who builds in order to profit or someone who builds in order to make a statement, declaring who they are and what they have achieved. With all of that coming to involve the person as much as the place. But that's only the beginning. First, Hebrews points back to the Old Testament, and by doing so, highlights both a parallel and a preparation. This centres on Moses and how God related to him in particular. That, in turn, leads to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. And it's here that God describes his relationship with Moses, as well as to the significance placed on him. He is then confirmed as not only being the leader of the Israelites at that time, but something like the chief steward of the people of Israel. In effect, Moses was appointed as being like a high priest. Translate that further in Greek, and the importance of faithfulness comes to the fore. In other words, the scriptures say that there was no one more faithful than Moses in relationship to God. But Hebrews is a New Testament letter, addressed to those who had come to believe as well as those who had not, all of which placed an emphasis on Jesus as being one more than Moses. In the Jewish faith, the high priest was the highest human authority. But to the earliest Christians, that authority was reserved for the apostles. And so the writer to the Hebrews speaks of Jesus as being both a high priest and an apostle combined. The only occasion when the term apostle is used to describe him, raising his standing all the more. But all of that has its place in time. As Christians now, there is no argument that Jesus is the central figure of all time, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so any church and its people will no doubt acknowledge that Jesus surpasses Moses and is worthy of more glory and honour. For Moses is but a part of the house in which he served, but Jesus is the builder of the house itself. For that was the declared task of God's anointed king, to build a house for his name, as the Old Testament states. All of which has come to represent the church or the new Israel, as the New Testament also states. But ultimately, Hebrews reminds us of a relationship with God. Jesus is described as the apostle, or the one who has been sent. And Jesus is described as being the high priest through whom we can come to God the Father. Then Jesus is described as the ruler of God's house, the one who is faithful as a son over it. That makes him someone to follow as well as to obey. But it gives those who believe a status also. For as a Christian, there is a description of partnership, of being in partnership with God. And as a Christian, there is a description of sharing with and sharing in all that Jesus is, which makes the message of Hebrews more relevant to us today, for it describes an ongoing arrangement, and yet there's an ongoing struggle. Like the earliest Christians who still looked to Moses, we too still look elsewhere. Because it's difficult to fix our thoughts on Jesus always. That's when we need to know who we are. No longer the person we were, but someone in the process of transformation. Someone accepted by God. Someone forgiven. Someone invited to participate with all that God intends, taking part in His purpose, taking our place in His plan. But more than that, according to Hebrews, we are someone that's given a confident self-assurance. One which gives voice to what it is we believe. And one which leads to prayer as well as to public confession. But then there's hope. And although as Christians pride is often considered a hindrance rather than a virtue, it's the pride that belongs to hope which is described in translation. Other words are used as well, such as courage or confidence. Yet, whichever translation is read, the underlying message suggests that we boast of our hope in Christ. That it's possible to do so. That it's desirable to do so. That it's acceptable to do so. And that it's appropriate to do so. All because as Christians, we are His house. We are part of it with Him. We are not just in it, we are it, making you no longer an occupier. And when it comes to the Christian faith, in God's estimation, you are not a tenant. Neither are you a squatter. Instead, you are together with Him. You are known. You are welcome. This is partnership. And whilst this church and any church building can be described as being God's house, the description belongs to you and I. We are God's house. And what God is asking us to do is to assume that it's home. To accept that it's home. And to treat it as being home. A home for you. But also a home to be used to welcome others. As we extend Christian hospitality that leads to shelter, security, comfort and identity. The new identity which salvation brings and the identity of discipleship which we are prompted and encouraged to follow. Let us pray. Lord, enable us to think of you more, to follow you further, to pray more often, and to worship more freely, all in response to your call to be the people that you have called us to be. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.